There's a whole world of monsters out there, waiting to be discovered. Legends and lore that have been kept deep in the recesses of society. It's time that they've been given their just due and are brought out for all to know. My name is Michael Patrick, and you're listening to the Monsters and Friends podcast. There are many different ways that we build who we are throughout our lives. There's direct education, in which we watch our friends and families interact with others and each other, and show us how we're expected to act. Then there's the ingrained education that we must build by ourselves. The framework for some of this education is built by simply observing those in the world. Another way we get this self-education is by listening. We hear stories that inspire us. Stories that grow our sense of adventure and belief. Stories about African-American pilots that defended the United States during World War II, putting aside their own pride and using their sense of valor to guide them. There are stories about coaches teaching young men to build dynasties on the foundation of hard work and dedication. All of these things give us a sense of who we can become. There are other stories out there that can do the opposite. There are stories that can instill upon us a sense of dread and fear. They give us the feeling of terror as we walk down a dark road at night or lay in a bed in a quiet house. These are the type of stories that we'll explore on this week's episode of the Monsters and Friends podcast. This episode, we're heading into the heart of Dixie. Welcome to Alabama. On a cold, dark, rainy night, so bitterly cold, damp, and dark, when even streetlights won't burn, and the striking of a match refuses to yield the tiniest flame, on nights like this, Huggin' Molly comes out of her lair and roams the streets of Abbeville to see whom she can find. Legends come in all shapes and sizes. In the town of Abbeville, Alabama, a tall, darkly clad woman owns the night. This is the legend of Huggin' Molly. Around the turn of the 20th century, a story was told to the local children and teenagers of Abbeville. The story of a woman that was 7 feet tall and dressed in an all-black robe. If you were out past the setting of the sun as the witching hour approached, Molly would find you. When she found you, she would do exactly as her name foretells. She would hug you and scream a blood-curdling scream into your ear, making you long for the relative safety of your home. In another part of this tale, Molly didn't simply scream into your ear, but rather, she would hug you and suck the soul right out of your body. The result of this? Death. Of course, other versions of the Huggin' Molly story have been told through the generations. But what exactly is the legend? Every legend is born from some sort of true event. The degrees of separation from that event, though, usually are nearly impossible to gauge. One of the most prominent and fantastic stories state that Huggin' Molly was a young woman that called Abbeville home. After a torrid affair with a young man, the woman became pregnant. At this time, it was considered an absolute sin to become pregnant out of wedlock, and could only be forgiven in the eyes of the Almighty himself. After giving birth to a boy, Molly did not want to marry the father of the child as she did not think he'd be a suitable father. Soon after the birth, the young woman fell ill and passed away. It became known that the young woman had died as a result of poisoning, and it was the young father that was arrested and charged with the murder. Before he was hung, however, he escaped and made his way to the southwest to simply disappear. The young boy was given to another family where he grew up and could often be seen lying on his mother's grave, wailing and crying. Unfortunately, the boy did not live a very long life. It's been told that Huggin' Molly is this woman wandering around Abbeville in search of her son. She simply wants to hug and hold him. When she finds a young person or child, though, and wraps them within her arms, upon realizing that it's not her son, she lets out a horrible shriek that scares the life right out of those that encounter her. There is no verification of this story, but you would be hard-pressed to tell the locals of Abbeville that whatever it is they're seeing is not real. A young man named MacGregory had an encounter with Molly sometime in the early 1900s. For 60 years, he owned Lawson Gregory Grocery Store, but before he was the owner, he was simply a grocery boy. One evening, after completing a grocery delivery to someone within the town, MacGregory was on his way home. At this point in the town's history, only the main thoroughfares were lit with lamps. Side streets and alleyways were not lit, and generally would be incredibly dark, especially if there was no moon. The fastest way home for Mr. Gregory was to take a side street, and as he turned off the main drag, he had noticed how dark it had become. At one point, he was barely able to make out the path in front of him as he was walking to his home on East Washington Street. As he made his way down the path, Mr. Gregory felt a presence behind him. He turned to look and saw a large, cloaked figure matching him step for step. Mr. Gregory walked faster, but the cloaked figure did exactly the same. Eventually, Mr. Gregory feared what would happen and slowed his steps in the hopes of making the figure do the same. As he did this, the figure did the same, and again, he picked up the pace. Eventually, with home in sight, MacGregory broke out into a sprint and made it untouched to his home. From that day on, he made sure that all of his deliveries were done before the sun went down. Again, as in previous tales, this is an encounter based in the reality of the victim's life, which has left an indelible mark on him. Tales like this litter the century. Children, teens, and later on even adults have had encounters with Huggin' Molly in Abbeville, and each of them will tell you that it is in no way a figment of their imagination. Explanations range from a hoax, to a story, to a college professor that wanted his students in their homes before dark. No matter what, though, Huggin' Molly has captured the imaginations and ignited the fear in a small Alabama town for well over a century. Not all legends inspire a traditional feeling of dread and fear. They don't all include a monster that lurks in the darkness. Not everything has something sneaking around the next corner waiting to prey on you. Some of these legends come from the scariest thing of all, the unknown. In 1854, the unknown is what struck a family that lived near Selma, Alabama. About 10 miles outside of Selma lived the Williamson family. The man of the house was named Orion. Orion was a planter. He owned a farm that produced various crops for commercial use. On an afternoon in July of 1854, Orion was sitting on his front porch along with his wife and their young child. As he sat there and rocked, he remembered that he had forgotten to tell one of his farmhands that in the afternoon he wanted to move some newly acquired horses from the Alabama sun to the shade of their horse barn. As he remembered this, the very man he purchased the horses from, Armor Wren, and his son were riding by in their carriage. Orion stood up on his porch and started to walk down the stairs when he saw his neighbor. Orion grabbed a small stick as he went down the stairs and gave the elder Wren and his son a wave. Orion looked back at his family on the porch and then made his way into the field towards the barn. At that exact moment is when the unknown struck into thin air with no warning or trace. Orion Williamson vanished before the eyes of his wife and child. Mrs. Williamson was so in shock, it took her a few moments to gather herself and make it to the place that Orion disappeared. The younger Williamson, along with Armor Wren and his son James, made his way to the spot. They searched through the immediate area but could find nothing. After searching for a few hours, they made their way to the local sheriff, where they were incredibly dismayed. Mrs. Williamson was so distraught that she was taken to the local hospital to make sure that she was okay. Armor, James, and a few dozen other men made their way to the Williamson farm to start their search. Nothing. The following day, 300 people gathered at the Williamson farm to try and find Orion. They linked arms and walked through the field. They searched the woods nearby the farm, but again, it turned up nothing. Eventually, the searchers grew less and less until no one was left. Mrs. Williamson claimed that she could still hear her husband calling out for his family a few weeks after his disappearance. Eventually, though, his calls got quieter and quieter, and eventually altogether stopped. After a few months and a trial to determine Orion's fate, he was declared dead. But what happened to Orion Williamson? Did he simply vanish from the earth without a trace? Or did something more sinister happen? Theories are abundant. A German scientist by the name of Maximilian Hern had an idea. He believed that Orion simply walked into a spot of universal ether. Universal ether is what was believed at the time to be what made up the medium of the earth. Hern theorized that while walking through his field, Orion Williamson came into contact with a pocket of ether that materialized for just a few seconds and then vanished. Hern believed that these pockets of ether would destroy all matter that it encountered, including Orion Williamson. Another popular theory at the time is that Orion came into contact with some sort of magnetic field. When Orion came into contact with it, his atomic structure was completely destroyed and he was sent to another dimension. A third theory that has been thought of is much more of this world. Some theorize that Orion simply encountered a sinkhole in his field and fell through into it. It's thought that's why his family could hear him for weeks. As he grew weaker, he'd have been less able to call out and ultimately perished. Opponents of this, however, ask why no one was able to find the hole in the field, as they diligently searched for any signs of Orion. The most prominent theory, however, is that this entire story was no more than a fabrication of the time. During the 1800s, it wasn't that unheard of for people to have lying contests to see who would come up with the most outlandish stories. Was this simply a product of that? Perhaps the man who originally reported it, Ambrose Bierce, was simply looking to gain notoriety through this work of fiction. It's certain that the only people that know are no longer walking the plane of this world. Finally this week is yet another possible member of the Bigfoot family. Alabama has a creature that is famous locally but does not have the attention of the worldwide audience. Perhaps its most famous cryptid is the Alabama White Fang. It would appear that each region in the United States has their own member of the Bigfoot family. They're all defined by things that make them unique to their region. Adaptations they've grown into. Whether it be camouflage, physical changes, or behavioral adaptations, they change to fit into their surroundings. The Alabama White Fang sheds all of these things and is an outlier all unto its own. The Alabama White Fang has been seen and heard around the north central Alabama region for nearly 100 years. Physical accounts of this beast are generally very similar in nature, but there are a few outliers. When speaking of the Alabama White Fang, it's usually described as being somewhere between 7 and 10 feet tall. The White Fang is a bipedal creature, although it has been noted that it sometimes runs on all fours when trying to move more swiftly. It has dark eyes that have a red shine effect, like many other animals. The White Fang is known to be able to move at incredible speeds when running. Generally, it's noted that this creature runs on all fours when tracking prey or making an escape from a situation that makes it scared or nervous. Another distinguishing thing that the White Fang shares with more traditional Bigfoot is the noise that it makes. It's been described as much like a woman screeching, or in some cases, children playing. The noise is very unique though, and while some don't see the creature, they most definitely hear it. The fang that defines this monster though, is its long, shaggy white hair. There have been other descriptions of the White Fang, however. Some have described it as looking more like an albino bear with longer hair than normal. Still, others have described it as being a humanoid creature, something akin to what we would consider a gray, or the classic description of a classic alien with a large head, lanky body, and either no eyes or large, flat, black ones. One of the more fantastical claims of the creature describes it as looking like it has the body of a kangaroo but the head of a cat. All told, however, most claims are similar in origin, and as stated, a lot of the differing descriptions usually come as outliers. There may be more things skulking around the Alabama wilderness that get lumped into the category of the Alabama White Thing simply because they're different. This creature's temperament is also called into question frequently. Like the rest of the tale, it seems that people differ on the case of whether the Alabama White Thing is a bloodthirsty creature stalking and preparing to kill its next victim, or whether it's just another creature that calls the wilderness of Alabama home. It has been seen killing a calf or a horse, and occasionally dragging a deer behind it, but much like any other predatory creature, it has to eat. One of the more interesting stories of the Alabama White Fang comes from a hunter that was out in the woods and decided that he needed to take a nap. He nestled himself down beside a tree and fell asleep. When the hunter woke up, he felt a breathing on the side of his face. Slowly, he opened his eyes to see two red eyes glaring back at him. Surrounding the eyes were a veil of stringy, dirty white hair that fell over an unrecognizable face. The hunter was frozen in fear as the creature simply stared at him. Eventually, it got up and stood over the man, but ultimately, it just walked away. This isn't a characteristic of something with a bloodlust. Throughout Alabama's history, however, there have been stories where the Alabama White Thing has been suspected in killings. There are times in which a farmer would be found torn to pieces near their equipment or near their barns. However, no concrete evidence exists tying the White Thing to any deaths outside of food sources. There have been many sightings of the Alabama White Thing dating back to the 1930s. They've been seen everywhere from the backwoods of Alabama to encroaching upon suburban neighborhoods. There is a pattern to where the White Fang has been spotted. There is a triangle between Morgan, Jefferson, and Etowah County that seem to have the most saturated amount of sightings of the White Fang. There's also a bit of lore attached to the Alabama White Fang, especially in regards to where it's been seen. There is a belief that the White Fang is known to appear in the areas around funerals or burials. Some believe that they've seen the White Thing earlier in their life, and usually behind it brings some sort of terrible event. Perhaps the White Thing is much like the Mothman, and it's in fact a harbinger of death and bad luck. It appears to be much more tame in reality, however. One woman tells a story of herself when she was a kid. She lived out on a farm with her parents and her two brothers. One night, her mother heard a commotion on her porch and assumed it was one of her son's friends playing a prank. She grabbed a hoe from the utility room and made her way to the front door. She turned the light on and flung open the door, and there on the porch stood her cows, cowering in fear. She proceeded to look out to her garden, where she heard some more noise. Sitting there, amongst her vegetables, was a large, hairy white creature eating her fruitful bounty. She retreated inside and let the creature continue along its course. Another story tells of a man that was so terrorized by the white thing attempting to enter his house that he actually had to board up his windows just to keep it out. Notably, though, it didn't mention that he feared for his life, but rather he saw the creature as simply an annoyance. The Alabama White Fang is definitely a creature that invokes intrigue, especially with it being regarded as the most famous cryptid in Alabama. Like most other creatures, though, we are found constantly searching for answers as to what this creature might actually be. As stated earlier, the Alabama White Fang has been described as something altogether different from a Sasquatch or the sort. There is a description of the creature as having long, matted white hair standing low to the ground with a long tail ended by a tuft of white hair. It describes more of a wolf than a Bigfoot. Another description talks of it looking like a kangaroo and cat mixed together. Yet another has the alien description we've all come to know. No matter what, though, there is a lot of confusion surrounding the Alabama White Fang. There are two theories that are most commonly noted when talking about the White Fang. The first is that the Alabama White Fang is no more than an albino bear that has undergone some sort of mutation. It's a bear that has long, stringy hair, and sometimes will stand on 2 feet to gather food or just get a better perspective. The other theory, of course, is the one that most choose to believe. The belief that the Alabama White Fang is in fact a member of the Bigfoot family. It's either a Bigfoot with yet another adaptation, or simply a genetic mutation that creates them in the white image that they are cast. Or perhaps that genetic mutation simply makes them an albino Bigfoot. It would explain the description that some have of the creature's eyes being red in nature. It does act in many similar ways to how a Sasquatch acts, and the descriptions match up incredibly well. What is the Alabama White Fang, though? The only people that know for sure are the ones that have seen it up close and personally. They're the ones that hold the true answer to that question. There is another question that has been put out there quite a bit recently, and that question is, where are you? And by you, I mean myself. I've said in earlier episodes that sometimes life happens. Sometimes things happen that are beyond your control, and whether you plan for them or not, it can create chaos in life. Right now, the world outside of the cabin is in a bit of chaos for me, but I want to assure you all that inside the cabin, all is right. You are the reason that I continue to make this podcast, and we keep our travels going. I will try not to let myself get this far behind again, and I appreciate those that have wished me well. I can't say thank you enough to my podcast family. The Straight Up Strange Network produces some amazing content and offers you a variety of things to listen to, especially in my absence. Beyond that, they are exactly what they are, a family. So please, join our family. Head on over to straightupstrange.com or look for us on Twitter at Strange Podcasts to check out our lineup and see what other podcasts we have to offer that you might just really like. Also, keep in touch with me. I'm always available on Twitter at MNFPod and love chatting with all of you. I have a plethora of stickers as well, thanks to our good friends at Sticker Mule, and I would be glad to shoot you one just to say thank you. Not to mention, we're always on the search for amazing cryptids, legends, and lore out there while on our journey. To check out some other things that Alabama has to offer, please make sure you check out our Instagram as well. You can follow us at Monsters and Friends there and see some of the other incredible things lurking throughout the heart of Dixie. And finally, I just want to say thank you again for taking the time to let me drive my Winnie into your ears and share with you just a bit of joy of the unknown and the weird. This podcast is and always will be a labor of love, and I'm glad that you're on this road trip with me. That does it, however, for Alabama. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods so that you can make sure that you get the newest episodes and updates as soon as they drop. If you're bored, give us a review on iTunes or the like as well. It'd be real neat. But in the meantime, enjoy your journey, and we'll chat again real soon.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.